Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being with us today. If you've got a question, it's time for question and answer time. If you've got a question, you can certainly send that over via email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to call us and talk to us, you can do that at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469, toll-free coast-to-coast. We will start with a question we had come in from Francis, who is listening to us on WCRN 830 AM up in the Boston, Massachusetts area. He's got a question about hostas.
Hi, my name is Francis. I'm in Millbury. I live in Millbury, and my problem was with variegated hostas. They were beautiful variegations, and to begin with, now they all turn green. Very little white left. What's the problem?
So, Holly, can we help him with that?
Well, we can provide him an answer.
Okay, yeah, let's provide him an answer instead of helping him, since we're not really, I don't know if he wants us to come over and help him, but let's see what we can offer him here.
So the thing with hostas is that they can stay variegated for many, many years, and they are a perennial plant. They come back year after year, but they are prone to a mutation that sometimes when they're variegated, all of a sudden, one season they turn green, or they turn mostly green, and then they don't come back from that. So if
irreversible,
it's irreversible.
And it's not really anything the grower is doing, is it?
No, you could like, you know, treat them beautifully and be the best hosta grower around. It's just a mutation that occurs.
Okay.
So it's something you can do. So if you want your variegated hostas back, you'd have to rip those out and plant more.
All right, let's go to some questions we had come in via email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Holly?
Okay, so if I put down weed cloth on one side of my garden patch, do you think it would keep the weeds from spreading that way? I don't mind if they spread, but I want them to go in the other direction.
If you put it down, here's the thing. The grasses, it'll kill the grasses, but the viney crops let's say Creeping Charlie, for example, something that we deal with. It's going to grow under the plastic and then pop out because it grows with runners underneath the soil. Thistles are similar the same way, that you probably should hit them with natural greens, no more weeds, from natgreen.com in order to reduce and try to control. It's an horticultural grade vinegar. Because those are very, very aggressive weeds, and they see an obstacle, they will find a way around that obstacle.
I have been thinking about expanding my small garden at home to a bigger garden. I'm not sure if I should stay with fabric or invest in some of the birdie steel containers I've started to see on YouTube. I also have to look into fencing for deer, rabbits, and any other pests. Any thoughts or ideas? I live in Superior, Wisconsin. I have moved to Duluth, Minnesota, which is just nearby. I have cold and snowy winters, and I don't want to be replacing boards on raised beds frequently.
Okay, so the birdie steel containers, they look very nice. They can be anywhere from 17 to 32 and even higher inches high. Can be an investment in order to fill a large device like that with raised bed mix, compost, males mix, whatever you're filling that with. The grow bags is not that is really a good investment. Rootmaker.com, they've got white, they've got gray, they've got tan. Coupon code radio21 to save 10% on your purchase at rootmaker.com, and they have 1 to 60 gallon grow bags. They've got pop-up raised beds, so I would not necessarily invest in the steel beds, because there's a lot of soil that you've got to put in one of those compared to a grow bag or a raised bed. The deer and rabbits and groundhogs and all the other critters, investment of a fence is not bad, but also deer defeat is a deer, rabbit, and groundhog repellent spray, naturally made. Coupon code radio to save 10% on the order there. And it works incredibly well. It works through all types of conditions. I would go with grow bags. I wouldn't necessarily invest in the metal birdie raised beds. They're phenomenal. They can be costly, and that's our opinion. All right, Holly. Do you continue to hill potatoes beyond its initial planting? If so, how much? If not, how high should the hills be when you plant them?
So you just want to make sure we don't hill ours once we've planted them. We just leave them as is. And if you, when you do hill them, when you plant them, you just want to make sure that you don't see the seed potatoes showing through the soil.
The tubers that are developing, yeah, this tubers. Is the purpose of the healing, the throwing the soil on top so they don't get exposed to sunlight.
Right. So you just want to keep them covered by a few inches. That's the key.
Yeah. And then also you can throw yard debris, seed-free, chemical seed-free, grass clippings,
straw,
anything leaves, to because if the tubers are exposed, the ones that are developing get exposed to sunlight, they're going to turn green. Green potatoes are recommended not to be eaten because they have a level of toxicity that can agitate or even do some harm to your digestive system. So keep that in mind. So, you know, just keep them covered. You know, there you go. All right. Do you have to wait until the scapes are really curled and long on the top of your hardneck garlic before cutting them? Or can you cut them early?
You just want to wait till they're somewhere curly and you see that little notch that is would become the seeds. So it's like the little notch at the end of the scape. And you can use anything from grilling them. You can pan fry them like in a stir fry with butter till they're tender. You can put them in a salad, cut them up. We did make garlic scape pesto. It was very pungent in garlic flavor. So you might want to, if you do that, might want to dilute that with some spinach or kale or basil.
Now is the time in most portions of the northern United States where garlic scapes need to be harvested. Garlic scapes only occur on the hardneck variety. Softneck variety, it does not. Softneck variety, you still wait until the lower leaves die off before you harvest the bulb. But the advantage to the hardneck is you get that scape as an additional harvesting item on it about 3 to 4 weeks before the bulbs are ready. And you're cutting that scape off to prevent vertical growth and put on additional root development.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.